Okay. Good evening, everyone. It is March 16th, and we are at the Vets Hall, and this is the meeting of the Public Works Advisory Board. I'd like to welcome everyone who's watching us at home. We have a quorum, although we are missing one of our members. David Sozino did email me and say he would be out of town tonight, so we'll miss him. We will start with a moment of silence. I do have an important announcement today that I want to make to everyone. Deborah Owen is going to be leaving our board. we're really saddened about that. But she is moving out of town to be with her, closer to her grandson. And as a grandmother, I cannot blame her for that. So we wish her well, and thank you so much for your years of service on the PWAB board. We have enjoyed working with you, and you have added wit to our happy meeting here, so thank you and good luck. Are there any other announcements? Okay, and we have no presentations. We will open it for public comment. Is there anyone from the public who wishes to speak this morning, or this evening, I should say?
I'm going to take off my Public Works Director hat and put on my Opera Slow hat. This Sunday at the PAC will be a 30th anniversary celebration of Opera Slow. So there will be a bunch of great singers and me there. So I sing with the opera chorus and then also with the Slow Master Chorale. So I have several fine tenors, a baritone, a couple of great sopranos. So if you have a chance, go to pacslow.org to get your tickets and hope to see you at the opera. Thank you.
Thank you, Rob. I appreciate that. All right, we have the consent calendar. Has everyone had a chance to review the minutes of the February 17th meeting? Okay. Anything to add or change? We have these abbreviated minutes now. It's kind of hard. You have to go view them if you want to change something. So,
I'd like to go ahead and move to approve the minutes of the February 17th meeting as stated.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? None. Okay. We first have the director's report. Rob, did you want to give anything or say anything specifically about that?
Microphone, it's on now. You know, in the opera, we sing without mics. a couple of projects that we'll be working on. We're assisting the women in fisheries with the placement of the going to sea statue, so we'll be helping it. Playing a minor role in that. They're doing most of the work with a couple of volunteer contractors. And then you'll see some revisions late this spring, early summer at Del Mar Park, where we'll be converting the existing roller hockey rink to pickleball courts. So you'll see that there'll be permanent pickleball courts, and we'll be painting the courts with what's called pickle paint. I'm learning all about pickleball, more than I thought I'd ever want to know. So those are a couple of items that didn't make it to the director's report. But with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Okay, any questions for Rob about his report? We'll start with Stu.
The service request, I did try that on the website. That's a nice feature. It's too bad we can't get everybody on all the residents here on board, but they need to be aware of what's going on with that. Maybe a little bulb out on the city website.
Okay.
About how useful that tool is, and it really is. I turned in a couple of them just to see, and it needs a little bit of work because you can put some garbage in there, and I did it deliberately to see what's happens. But it'd be nice to see where who's doing what with that, and are we keeping track of what the incidences are? And
yeah, we are.
Are they grouped by those categories? That
we're learning how to use the reporting functions on that, and in a future meeting we'll bring that to the board for you to review. But we are learning more about the reporting functions on that so that we can get those reports out and the statistics out on it. Also, there's a couple of companion pieces to that. If you have an iPhone, you can download the free app from the App Store called My Morro Bay. Once you get it set up, it's even less work than going to the service request online. You can snap a picture of your favorite pothole. It geolocates you. You can add some description if you want to. And since you've already registered your email address, all you do is hit, send that request in, and it does the same thing as a service tracker. And that's also available at the Android App Store too, for those folks with non-Apple devices. So the Android platform also works.
Great.
Chris.
I was going to see if you can just do a brief synopsis or discussion on the recycling facilities in town. And I know there's a lot of public that's been asking questions about that.
Sure. I can let you know what I know.
Okay.
Those are privately operated recycling facilities. And from what we can gather, is that company made a business decision that they closed about 200 of their facilities statewide, and two of them were in Morro Bay. We are working with IWMA because the grocers have an obligation to provide recycling, and there's five different ways that they can do it. They can take it back in-house, they can contract with one of these companies, they can opt out of the program with a special waiver from the state, and if Janine was here, she would remember the other two. But next meeting, we'll do a more full a report on that item. There are some left in the county, I do remember that, but they're not convenient for Morro Bay. I believe Cambria, San Luis Obispo, and Paso Robles are the recycling centers. And if you go to the state, go to IWMA and get linked to the state waste section, there's a search engine where you can find all those recyclers. But unfortunately, there's none real convenient to Morro Bay or Los Osos for that matter.
Can I ask you, Rob, do you happen to know if the stores here opted out or got the special waiver? Or would Albertsons or Cookie Crock?
That process is still underway.
Oh.
So we'll know the answer to that question in 3 or 4 months.
I'd just like to add to this topic is that the reason that this company closed down 200 facilities is because commodity prices are so low and it's no longer feasible financially for them to continue this. But the one that's mentioned in this report is that the nearest recycling or buyback recycling center is near Target in San Luis Obispo for folks that want to know. But this just wasn't an arbitrary decision like, hey, we're just going to shut down. It's not worth it for them to do it anymore.
Okay, any other questions, Stephen? Okay. All right. Well, let's finish up here. Jan?
Under the, in the staff report, under the consolidated maintenance, they're talking about the first phase of the HVAC upgrades. Is that what we were talking about last year with the solar panels on the roof?
Yeah, so we'll have both solar panels and the HVAC. We're going to place the air handling units up there first. We don't want to drop one on solar panels, so that'll be the first phase, and then the solar panels will be the second phase.
And this is for City Hall and the Police Department and the Community Center?
Community Center has solar panels on it. We'll be doing a little bit of expansion. Basically, most city buildings will have renewed HVAC and solar panels on them.
Okay, and it's just been bid. It hasn't. Have you received any?
Not yet.
You don't know anything.
We're actually purchasing the equipment, self-purchasing, and then we're the bids are out for the installation of the equipment.
Okay, and then, what was the other one? On the wastewater, under wastewater, major maintenance repair program, it's talking about exploratory potholing. Is that in the first paragraph under metering, valve removal, and blending valve replacement project? I'm assuming this is all happening at the wastewater plant?
On the plant itself. So that plant was built in 53, and before we start digging big holes in the ground, we need to find out where some of that piping was that wasn't very well as-built or mapped when they originally buried it. So,
that's what exploratory
potholing is? Yes.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Deborah?
Oh. I wanted to bring to the attention of the public that between February 1st and July 1st is nesting season. So we will not be trimming any trees, right?
Except if there's an imminent hazard that we need to take care of.
Okay. And then I also wanted to bring to everyone's attention again, we brought it up at our last meeting, about the spring cleanup week. This is just an incredible opportunity to get rid of all your junk. I swear they will take almost anything you can get to the street. We have the garage sale, the citywide garage sale on April 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. That's a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And then the following weekend on your regularly scheduled pickup day, you can put almost anything out on the street and they'll pick it up. They do have restrictions, so if you go to the Morro Bay City website and type in spring cleanup, it gives you a really nice little sheet of all the rules and sizes and items and who you need to call and that you need to have it out to the street by 6:30 in the morning. I encourage everybody not to miss this opportunity. It's really a great service that they provide. And that's it.
Thank you. Stu, you had another one?
Oh, I've got several, but okay. We talked about the asphalt last month, and it looks like we found 25 tons of it and put it out. And I had some praise about the path that goes down the Tascadero Road, that you can now ride a bicycle down it, and that's great things. Has a pecking order been determined about what we fix next?
So we're still working on that pecking order. And the strategy that we have typically used is pavement preservation, so not worst first, because it stretches the pavement dollar further by keeping the good pavement good and letting... There's a degradation curve for pavement, and once it gets below a PCI of about 50, that curve goes vertical, and it fails very, very rapidly. So the pavement condition basically drops into the 55-60 range, or 50-55 range, it's really... the approach is to do minimal preventive maintenance just to patch potholes and to view that street as a reconstruction street.
Okay. Also on page 6, there's a comment about sidewalks. There are some sidewalks in town that are trip hazards, and it looks like some that need to be replaced. And I see some of them ground off. Do citizens generally call in and say, you know, there's a sidewalk out here that's a trip hazard, or do we have a crew that goes around and looks to say the tree raised the sidewalk and now it's a trip hazard?
Yeah, so we use a lot of intern help at the city. So we have one of our Cal Poly civil interns that's assessing the sidewalk, and then we'll prioritize that assessment for either repair or replacement. During the mid-year budget, the council allocated some dollars to repairing or replacing sidewalks.
The CRV that the state charges us, which is a nickel, or is it more than that in some cases, that money isn't enough to pay the recycles people to pick up the bottles and the rest of the stuff? Or don't they get any of that and they make all their money off of what they can crunch down and sell to whoever they sell it to? where does that money go for the CRVs?
I am not an expert on the structure of how the CRV financing works with the state. So we still have curbside pickup of recycling, of course. It's just those redemption centers that you could bring your redeemables to and get paid directly for that commodity is the ones that have left Morro Bay.
I also saw many of the homeless people around town that used to gather the bottles up and come out and cash them in and so on. They're not doing that anymore? Or have we removed the homeless people? Or what do they do with those bottles and things?
Well, the closest recycling center is in San Luis Obispo. It's probably not very convenient to carry by hand or by bicycle to San Luis Obispo large quantities of recyclables.
That's all I have right now.
Okay, thank you. Many of the things that I was going to ask about have been brought up and mentioned. Just for the folks watching at home, could you just give us a little update on what happened with the water reclamation facility? It's a hot topic, and I know that the City Council met and did not select a site and have postponed the decision, but if you could just update us on the major things that are going to happen in these 60 days and the opportunities for citizens to get involved and express their opinion?
Sure. I'll back up a little bit and review kind of how we got to where we were. We were looking at what is known as the Rancho Colina site for maybe a little over a year, doing some detailed looking at that, talking with the property owner. In our initial discussions with the property owner, we had probably the best area of the site to build on. He unveiled this plan to the rest of his family. They weren't so thrilled about using the best of the site for a wastewater treatment plant. And their desire was, while they'll still work with the city if we want to have a wastewater treatment plant there, they wanted us to move it to the west and up the hill a little ways so it's on rockier, higher ground. Not a complete deal killer, but increased construction costs. So we started looking at some of the other options that we had previously addressed, and the second highest scoring property was what's known as the Rigetti site, the large 250-acre parcel that's just east of the city limits. As you're coming in on 41, it's on the north side. You see an older barn and farmhouse down in the lower part of the section. So we started doing detailed revisiting that site. Brought it to the Water Reclamation Facility Citizen Advisory Committee and to City Council. This was in end of January. It was looking promising. We did have a few neighbors that came to that meeting, and they spoke. Council directed us to do some outreach. We probably tried to do the outreach a little too quickly. We did notification by hand delivery of flyers to those properties that were directly neighbors to the properties, and one of the neighbors actually volunteered to pass out flyers to the larger neighborhood. We had a meeting in the community center where we probably expected maybe 30 people based on the way we set it up. There was 100-ish, maybe more, that came. So we had to quickly regroup and reset up the room for a larger audience. The folks that came to the meeting were surprised by that there would be a wastewater treatment plant or water reclamation facility as their neighbor. They have concerns on odors, traffic, noise, lighting, visual impacts, and then property values. came back to the city council after that meeting, where we were directed to take a 60-day pause to look at, there was a visit to WRFCAC, the Water Reclamation Facility Citizens Advisory Committee, in between there. That board recommended a pause in the action for 60 days to reanalyze a couple of the sites that had dropped out early, the Chevron or Toro Creek site and the Tri-W or the property that's just northeasterly of the roundabout on the other side of the highway, which is still in the city limits. Council took public testimony at their next meeting and directed us basically to do that same thing, is to look at those two additional sites in comparison to Rancho Colina and Rigetti site, and then to also seek out any other sites that may be viable in the Moro Valley. When we first started this project, there was very few properties for sale out there. Now there's a few more. So we're investigating those four, plus a couple of others that have had for sale signs on them that look like viable properties that were kicked out early on in the process because of floodplain issues, but they're large enough sites that can be mitigated. There's large areas on the sites that aren't in the floodplain at all. Don't quite have the schedule ironed down for public information, but if you go to our Water Reclamation Facilities website, you can register on there and be emailed any news or any updates to that webpage. Typically, that webpage gets updated every Wednesday, so that any new news that follows the council meeting gets put on there, or WRFCAC meetings are on Tuesday, so anything that comes out of that will be updated on that site. So that's where we stand right now. We have 60 days. We're working on, you'll see probably a mailer out to every mail receptacle, plus those out-of-town residents that live near the Rigetti site. And our property owners, not residents. So that'll be probably the first thing that you'll see on that will have detailed information on the opportunities for public input and meetings.
Thank you very much. I know that there are people watching, and I know that everyone's concerned about it, so I appreciate the update.
You're
Thank
welcome.
You. Thank you. Okay, well, we will accept your report, and we will move on to item B2 on the agenda, which is modifications to the Morro Bay Municipal Code 13.20, building limitation recommendation. Okay, so do you have a presentation for us, Rob?
Yes, I do.
All right, great.
Chapter 1320 of the Municipal Code basically sets up how we allocate water for new development in this city. It was established in the mid-80s. Morro Bay had limited water supply at that time, and at one point in time during the late 80s, early 90s, there was actually a moratorium in Morro Bay. So this process was set up to fairly allocate water equivalency units or permits, water meters, if you want to say, per se, to the public. So what the intention with this report tonight is to review the changes to the Municipal Code Chapter 13.20 and provide any recommendations regarding these changes to staff for consideration of the final ordinance to be approved by the City Council. We also will be making a trip to the Planning Commission next month with this. So as I said, the intent of this chapter is to regulate the addition of new water users to the city's water system, whether construction, expansion, new occupancies, and to ensure that there is available water for everybody and that development takes place in an orderly fashion. This ordinance has been modified a number of times over the years. But one thing they never really touched was the timing on when these reports are required to be delivered. And it's based on when we get the reporting information from our from the state and from our own internal reporting, it is really impossible to make those deadlines because we can't report on water use to the Planning Commission or this board in December when the year hasn't even finished and we don't have all the data yet. And council is supposed to make a decision by January based on all that reporting. And we don't typically get all of the information from the State Water Project until February, March timeframe. So it's a very difficult task to, and we've, you know, violated the municipal code probably for the last 25 years because of that. So some of the context that we'll be looking at is, you know, we've conservation. Morro Bay has been a very conserving city. We've dropped our overall water use about 29% since the last time some of the numbers in this were looked at to present day. We need to make sure that there's enough water available to ensure build out to the general plan requirements. Like I said, we have to ensure that the timing is correct and that we can get the information to council so that they can make a informed decision, and this board could influence that. And also there's some antiquated references in there still, Public Services Department. They talk about the Water Advisory Board. That was a precursor to PWAB. So things like that need to be cleaned up in the ordinance. Little background information. We received 900 acre feet of State Water Project water. And then that should be 2014, 1,141 in 2014. We used 138 acre feet from our Morro Valley wells that ran through the desal plant to treat for nitrate removal. And we reduced our water use 95 acre feet overall from 2014. The consumption dropped to 92 gallons per person per day overall average. So that's not residential. That's taking the entire production and dividing it by the population. So it's including commercial. We use that number in a report to the State Water Board. They like that number. It doesn't really mean anything, though, other than to compare against other years and other cities. So we were down 11% from 2014 and 21% overall from 2013. We allocated some WEUs or new water uses, 0.3 commercial WEUs, 18 single family, 1.62 multiple family. So we allocated a total of 19.62 WEUs in 2015 out of 115 that were available to allocate, that council made available for us to allocate. 23 units were allocated in the prior year in 2014. So we typically are allocating well below our sustainability cap. So 115 WEUs is calculated, and I think there's a council resolution that set that available on an annual basis. We don't typically get close to that. There was a point in early 2000s where we got up above 50 units, but it's been a while since then. Some of the revisions that we're looking at to do is the WEU calculations for water use are based on the late 1980s. We need to be able to present the data in December, but can't really do that. City Council is supposed to make allocations in January, not feasible. Like I said, data is not available till late January, and the final state water data is not available February. And the recommendation for that you'll see in the text changes would be to provide the report to this board, Planning Commission, and City Council in the spring time frame so that they could use the previous calendar year's data to allocate on the next fiscal year. Like I said before, the W table was last modified in 1990. The methodology that they use is not well documented. It appears that it could be industry standards because I don't see that they had the resources to do the individual. Today, it would be a bit easier, and we may want to work on this. We can get individual unit meter readings very easily and electronically. We have databases with building square footages that we have access to, so we could recalculate some of these. But if you look at the total amount of water that was used in 1990 when those numbers put into the table to today, it was 1,527 acre-feet of water versus 1,088 acre-feet of water today, so a 29% reduction. And the way I apportion that reduction in the new table that you have, not in the one that's in the original staff report, was to look at what amount of residential use is that water that's delivered. 66% of our use is residential, with 34 being commercial, and I apportion that reduction at 29% reduction proportionally to residential and commercial, and you can see that in the table. So the schedule and timing is we're here in March looking at revisions to this. Next month we'll be going to the public Planning Commission, and then we would like to get it to adoption by council by May 24th so that we can implement this in this next fiscal year. That concludes my staff report, I think, yes. And happy to answer any questions and open it up to the public.
Okay. I'd like to do this a little differently this time, if it's all right with everyone. I'd like us to just ask very general questions first, and then we can go through you have actually provided us with a draft copy that is of the new ordinance, correct?
Yes.
And so we could just then go through that page by page to make sure if there's any questions, we can get them answered in that order. Just to begin, we'll start down with Deborah. Do you have any general questions about either the process or the report that you'd like to ask?
No.
Okay. Jan?
No.
No, it was more specific to something he brought up here. I'll wait for that.
Okay. No. Chris? No? Stu?
Mine are more specific, too, so we can get into that in a little
okay.
bit.
Okay, all right. And mine is kind of a stupid question because I don't understand the whole thing, but can you just tell me very briefly, so that I can understand it, exactly how these are applied and what it means to a developer exactly to see this table and know what they're supposed to do based on it?
So the simplest approach is a single-family home.
Thank you.
You're building a new single-family home on a vacant lot that never had a water meter on it before. So council has, at some point in the past, said there are 115 WEs available for that year to allocate. A developer would come in, or builder or homeowner would come in, okay. and apply for a new water meter. We would make sure that there are still water equivalency available and then allocate that to that residence. It's not associated with any fees. It's a planning number is what it is. We don't charge fees based on WEUs. Some ways it might be simpler if we did, but we don't. Commercial is a little bit more complicated. Because commercial is based on the type of business or use and how big that business or venture is or expansion is. So in the table, I'll just pick maybe the first one, an auto garage with no gas. And it typically would use 1,800 cubic feet of water per 1,000 square feet of floor area per year, which when you divide that by that number by a WEU is defined as residential equals one. So divide it by the residential units, which is in the past was 10,000 plus cubic feet, you end up with 0.17 WEUs per 1,000 square feet of floor area. So if you're building a, for my simple math, a 2,000, because I can only multiply 2 times 17, a 2,000 square foot auto garage with no gas, you would need 0.34 WEUs. And we would look at our table that we track. Yes, there are 0.34 WEUs available. Yes, you get your permit approved.
Okay. And are you proposing in this the changes to the ordinance any changes in the process itself? By that, I mean who's reviewing at which stages? Because I realize it involves both you and also, I believe, it says in here the planning director, but I'm thinking that maybe
we're converting all that to public works. Director really doesn't input on water availability and maybe at one point in time in the city, because you can see there's public services director, planning director, community development director, and public services director.
Right.
Titles all used in this ordinance.
Right. That's part of what confused me.
Yes.
That's why I was wondering
if
you were real.
Up until a year ago, that was all one person. It was me. So it was easy, but now there are multiple players in that role. So it really needs to be the Public Works Department, because we're the ones that know how much water there is available.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. Yes, go ahead.
I'll just follow up to that. So we basically have 115 units have been allocated past previous years. And we're not getting anywhere close to that. And you said 1 year was around 50. When was that?
In the early 2000s.
Okay.
I should have brought the old WU table as an attachment to your.
And that would have been a mixture of residential and commercial,
yes.
I'm assuming. So you would either need to be proposing 115 houses that year or a mixture, I guess, apartment buildings. But I'm looking per unit. It would take two apartments to equal one house, it looks
right.
like. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. So then what I'd like to do is just go through the proposed ordinance and just starting with pages 1 and 2 and ask if anybody has any questions on pages 1 and 2.
Excuse me, Madam Chair. I wonder maybe if you wanted to open up for public comment just
yes,
in case.
Oh, please. Yes. Thank you. I will. I'm
sorry. I didn't look behind me.
You're feeling lonesome tonight.
Right, I think so. I think it was just having two chairs available that discouraged people.
That is interesting.
Yeah.
I've never seen the room set up like this before.
I know. We need to change that.
We need a spotlight in front of them, I think, to make it really inviting.
But we can open it, and then we can close it.
Yes.
All right. So does anybody have questions on pages 1 or 2 of the proposed changes to the ordinance? Any questions? All right. Stuart.
Of course, I'm very curious on how we managed to come up with the numbers here. And you mentioned a little bit ago that there's some tables around, or maybe there's just some state numbers on what lumber yards use and what plant nurseries use way less than lumber yards by a lot. And I think that some justification needs to be made, brought forward for those particular numbers and what's the formulation behind them, who does it, and that. And I can see the benefit of using tables like this in projecting what we're going to use on new water, but new buildings. But I had some friends of mine come into town and say, why are you guys in a water crisis there? What's that? And I said, it's a Pacific Ocean. Don't you have a RO plant? Yes, we do. Their question was, how much water can the RO plant generate at any cost in the acre feet per year?
If we were permitted to do this, our RO plant can provide the entire city demand. But we're not permitted. It's only for emergency operations.
Okay, and you mentioned that before. So it's the question of getting enough revenue up to get the RO plant permitted, and then we have virtually a supply of water from the Pacific Ocean if we don't find it in our water tables or in our creeks, or we're unable to buy it from the state because there's nothing left in the state aqueduct.
Right. That's so true. Currently this year we're at a 30% allocation, which means we'll get all the water we ask for because we have a drought buffer. From a cost standpoint, we're paying about, I'm going to use round numbers here, about $1,600 an acre foot for state water, retail price that we pay. It cost us about $1,600 an acre foot to run the desal plant for salt water, or about $1,000 for brackish water removal. So if we can buy state water, and we have to pay for the state water whether we take it or not, even if we're not getting any water from the state, we're still paying for our state water allocation.
Until 2018.
Then we have an opportunity to renegotiate. The contract does not expire. That's when the bonds are retired. So we have an opportunity to renegotiate and sell without losing a lot of money in the city. So, you know, we'll have an opportunity to talk about city water supply in great detail in a future item, not tonight, but if the council approves the work plan, we'll be talking a lot about water supply.
Okay, great. That's what I was after.
Okay. And I just have a simple question on page 2. It says reserved. Are you just going to replace that language? Right now it's eliminated. It's gone. And I'm assuming that you're actually not going to eliminate it, but going to be revising it? It's on page 2 of the bottom of the page.
The part that's all crossed out?
Yeah, the part that's all crossed out.
Oh, the table.
No.
No, 13.20.060 A, B, and C.
You left the word reserved in there, and I think that's what's called.
Oh, it's reserved for in case we need to add more ordinance language to it. So we don't have to renumber the entire ordinance.
I see.
We're reserving that for future additional
sections. Thank you.
Sorry.
Thank you.
About that.
Thank you. Well, and so you do mean to eliminate that language?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Pages 3 to 7 are the old table, so we can go to page 8 and 9. Are there any questions on 8 and 9?
No.
I've got one. What's a stream gauge? I believe you told us, but I've lost it. You mentioned Chorro stream gauge, and the why do we need that?
So we have about 1,100 acre feet of water allocation in the Chorro Valley, a water right to that, to take that water and use it appropriatively outside of the basin. We have permit conditions to do that, and one of the permit conditions is we can't take it if the stream flow is less than 1.4 CFS. So we have to be able to measure that stream flow. And the stream gauge is a trapezoidal concrete weir that we'll be constructing in the stream channel, if we can get a permit to do that. It may be a rock weir. We desire an engineer, you know, we want as accurate a flow measurement as we can do. We'll be constructing two of these stream gauges on Choro Creek, one upstream of our diversion and one downstream of our diversion. So that's why that's what the stream gauge is for.
Any others? Okay. I just had a question about the definition of water equivalency on page 8, and I'm wondering, does that need to be updated? It says it's currently the 10,780 cubic feet.
I might have missed one of those definition sections, and if it says that, it definitely does need to be updated.
Okay. Yeah, it's in the there's a little two little asterisks there, and it says water
okay.
equivalency.
Yes, that's the footnotes for the table. That needs to be updated. Thank you.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to be such a picky editor, but
no,
I was
it really it's important that we catch all of those. Thank you.
You're welcome. And page 9, I think I had the same kind of a comment. And that was, it says the planning director, and I'm thinking that maybe now that's you.
Yes.
Okay. So that's in the very top of the page, the planning director's show.
Okay. And there's the yellow highlighting has no importance other than I wanted to highlight it so I could find it again so I could explain that to somebody. Because I didn't know that this section existed, and I forgot to turn off the highlighting.
Okay. And then again in C1, it refers to the planning director, so you might want to put yourself in there again.
And I thought I did the search and replace for all of those. But.
Well, see, I'm an editor, so I can't help myself. I wanted to make sure I understood who was going to be doing this. Okay. Then in 10 and 11, any questions?
Okay, I have just something that needs to be cleared up. On page 9, item C1, all proposals for off-site retrofit programs or other water conservation measures shall be submitted to the planning director or to
Public Works Director.
Public Works, who shall estimate the number of equivalencies such proposal would save. I understand that. Additionally, if retrofit is proven to be infeasible, payment of an in-lieu fee in the amount approved by the City Council. Why do you if it's infeasible, why do you have to pay an in-lieu fee? If it's infeasible, it means it wouldn't be being done, right?
So if it's infeasible, that means we couldn't, they can't retrofit anything, and so we couldn't issue a WEU. City Council established an in-lieu fee program that basically funds our water conservation program. So the Grass for Cash program that is funded by this in-lieu fee program. So that's how that water is saved, by you pay the in-lieu, and then the city finds the water for you, basically. So we fund the water conservation, the volunteer water conservation program.
I think what she's trying to say is that if something's infeasible, it means it's impossible. So it's not going to happen. So why would you charge someone something in lieu of something that can't be done?
I think it says retrofit's infeasible.
This
is an alternative.
So it's an alternative to doing the retrofit. So if it's not feasible to do a retrofit,
then you need to do something else.
You have to do something else.
I see.
And the something else to do is to pay an in-lieu fee that is calculated based on what a typical retrofit would be.
Retrofit would be bringing it up to the current code.
Yeah, exactly.
And if that's I got it now.
Okay.
Thank you.
Follow up on that. Is the in-lieu fee the only option for an alternative? Or because at one point we had talked about other alternatives such as gray water and things like that. Is that still
that would be included as one of the BMPs that you could use we have a short list of BMPs in the resolution that this section only gets invoked when council adopts a resolution that allows it to happen. So the implementing resolution says you can do, you know, toilets or water savings or anything else that you can come up with that saves water, as long as you can show us the math that it works.
Okay.
But I have to tell you, the most popular method is the in-lieu fee.
Okay.
Yeah, I bet.
Definitely is.
Yeah. Okay. Any questions on 10 and 11? I was just curious to know how many retrofit proposals you have to review in a given year.
Well,
just out of approximately.
Let's see, how many WEUs did we have? We had, 18 single-family homes. And it's I don't personally review them. The development review engineer that's or engineering tech that's on the staff, if she has any issues with that, then we'll talk about it. But generally, there are other folks that help me. You only see me here. We should bring the staff here sometime so you can, or we'll take the show on the road sometime.
Questions on 12 to 13 pages. Any questions? Okay, seeing none. How about the table? That's the last element.
I got a question on that one. And I think the numbers look sound based on the commercial usage you're showing here. You brought up something in your staff presentation about the fact in this day and age we could go out and actually measure it and see exactly what's going on with the different commercial uses. But, I hate to have staff do work if you're not even coming close to the water equivalency units that are allocated each year. And I think, as I read in this thing, it's going to be looked over every year or two and revised accordingly. Maybe when we hit that point in space where people may not get their commercial license or whatever as a result, maybe then it might make sense to go out and actually.
Yes, and while we do have that ability, it's a pretty big work effort.
That's why I'm saying I'd hate to see staff's time wasted until it becomes an issue where somebody may be withheld from getting an allocation,
yes,
so to speak.
Okay, any other questions at all?
And just remember that the table that's in the package is not the table that we're using. I made an assumption error and applied a very high conservation rate on those numbers, and it drastically reduced the. I applied about a 30% conservation assumption, which is a good short-term number, but doesn't reflect what has happened over a longer period of time. And I think the numbers in the new table are more conservative. And for planning purposes, I think better reflect reality.
All right, great. Thank you very much. Any other questions or comments? I don't think you need any action from us, correct?
I don't think we need it. I think we've heard your comment, unless
right.
You want to sum them up and make a motion, but it's not necessary.
Oh, okay.
Right.
No.
I mean, the idea of changing the timing makes absolutely perfect sense to us, and I think.
It's definitely way beyond needed.
Right. It sounds like it's already happening.
In effect, it is, but we're, breaking the law every time we do it.
Right. So. And you've got all of our comments.
Yes, I do.
All right, great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We'll move on to item B3, which is the Public Works Advisory Board Work Program for this coming fiscal year.
And we're going to get a new presentation.
Oh, okay.
For that one.
All right, very good.
With our... Dave Buckingham, our city manager, really likes to have us guide these staff reports, have some sort of thing that we can all look at and refer to on the screen. So I think it helps things.
Okay.
This is a little bit drier item than, and I'm going to get it up on my screen too.
Well, not to us. You're setting our work for the year, so it's quite important.
I think... I think you're right. I think this is one of the more important things. It may be a bit ambitious. And maybe we want to recess for just a minute. Okay.
Okay.
mind. I'm just...
This is something that's new, correct?
Because this is something that's brand new. This was... I hate to get started with one of your board members out of the room, so... this is something that came about late last year with council revision of the policies and procedures. So looking at work plans.
Well, and I think it's very helpful for the board to actually anticipate what it's going to be, what's going to be coming up and what we're going to be talking about. So we do appreciate it. It's okay. All right. We're back at full strength. Yeah, almost.
Okay, and I have my version of it, too, and hopefully they match. Okay, the recommendation on this one is to... I didn't change. Recommendation on this one is to review the work plan, make any comments to council that will be reviewed at your joint session. I know it doesn't say that on the screen because I used the template for my last PowerPoint on this one. A little bit of background. In December of last year, City Council adopted Resolution 7215, outlining a strategic planning framework which directs timing and development of city goals and objectives. Study sessions were held in January to discuss, modify, and reprioritize those program objectives for each of the 10 city goals. We went back to City Council in February 9th to go over those goals once again. And on February 23rd, the City Council adopted the 16-17 revised goals and objectives. As part of that strategic planning framework, the Council also anticipates having joint meetings with the advisory boards to discuss these goals and objectives and to establish their work plans based on those objectives. We're going to get right to it right now. I took the public works related goals or objectives out of the goals and objectives staff report and have them summarized here, given them a brief title and when we would think they would happen in the 16-17 Public Works Advisory Board agenda. So 16-17 doesn't start until July. We take August off typically, so we'll be starting in September with a few, and you have this as part of your packet, the spreadsheet version of this. We'll starting out in September with a bunch of streets-related issues, and we combined all those together because we'll have a theme of the street summit. We thought it would be best to address all these issues in one Public Works Advisory Board meeting. So we'll be looking at having the street summit, going over the work plan for paving of various streets and possible funding measures. We'll be looking at some traffic calming features that council wanted us to address and be looking at what locations might be appropriate for traffic calming so that we can include in the circulation element. One concern of council was the intersection of San Joaquin or San Jacinto in Maine as a primary location. This one could be deferred to a later meeting because it's not critical to the paving program right now, but we have a project that we've been working on that you saw a few months ago. I think Omni Means came and presented that, the roundabout or the intersection evaluation at the intersection of Main 41 and Highway 1. That project is moving along through the Caltrans sausage grinder, and we're just about finished with ICE Phase 2, so intersection control evaluation. The second phase of that, very preliminary first, we passed that phase. Both alternatives move forward, the signalization option and the roundabout option. ICE Phase 2 evaluates both those in more detail. We're nearing completion with that. We had some site distance issues that we had to resolve, so those have been resolved. The next phase of that project would be moved on to what's known as preliminary engineering and environmental review, PAED. There's an acronym for everything in the Caltrans world. That we have grant money available for, so we're looking at probably sometime later this spring issuing a RFP for some additional preliminary engineering and to get the environmental review done. But to move forward to construction, the local MPO, which is a municipal planning organization, San Luis Obispo County Council of Governments, the regional transportation planning agency, is expecting a 50% match on all projects these days. Unfortunately, gone are the days of free money and 100% grant-funded projects. They're expecting the local agencies to and local communities to have some skin in the game and fund these projects. So we're looking at about $2 million to meet our match requirement for the intersection improvements there. The money is not needed until outer years. Probably 2019-20 is when construction would actually take place. So we have a little bit of time to figure out how we would either do the project, not do the project, and fund that project. So it's not a critical item that would have to be addressed in that paving meeting, but I have it scheduled for discussion in September of 16 also. If we wanted to go through these, I have them three per slide. If we want to, questions, discuss them three at a time rather than going through the whole list, we can do that. Or we can go through the entire list and then
why don't we
revisit.
Go through each meeting as a unit, so okay. All of the items at a particular meeting, and we can ask questions about what those might be and also whether or not that's a doable all in one meeting. Is that all right with everyone?
Sure.
Okay. Why don't you finish with
September.
With September.
The next street-ish related item is bike needs, to assess the bike needs issues for possible funding on that ballot measure. This is a more detailed traffic calming. This is actual based on that previous one. The details that we would look at, we'd probably combine these two into one objective. It probably doesn't make sense to have these two objectives on traffic calming and then traffic calming. Again, these come from two sections of the city's goals, so this one is much more detailed. We have also achieved some of the items on there. We completed the some of the paving that we were looking at doing on that bike path. The last item, I believe, on the September one is construction timing. We have a resolution out there that prohibits construction timing during from Memorial Day through Labor Day. Staff believes that we can still do some work that wouldn't completely impact tourism. The problem with, not Labor Day, after Harbor Fest. So with restricting from May to October, that's usually the best time of year to pave and to stripe. because you need warmer, drier weather to do that work. Then we get into this time of year where we're looking at short windows to get this work done and can't really effectively. So we'd like to talk with the public about how we can do that, still meet all of our business development tourism needs, and still get some work done during that time frame. Little anecdote on that issue. Those resolutions were passed, I believe, in the 90s time frame. So for a while, we forgot that they even existed. And we did work in the summertime, but we did it, I think we did it fairly smartly. We didn't do any work on the weekends. We didn't do any work on Mondays. We started any work on Tuesday afternoons and finished up by Thursday morning so that you kept a clear window on that weekend and the shoulders of the weekend too. That you weren't impacting. And there's some areas of town in some of the more residential areas that, and depending on what the work is, may have no effect. But the way the resolution is written, we don't do any street work in the summertime.
Okay, why don't we start then with questions? And Stephen, do you want to start on this? And for, I guess, any of these that are, we're talking about at the September meeting.
These are a lot of items for the September meeting.
That would be
and
my
they
first
probably would be combined.
I guess I had a few generalized questions as it relates to the street summit, or any of these on the list, actually. You're going to be bringing to us the recommendations. You're not asking for us to come up with them per se. You're going to make a presentation. We're going to do a yay or nay kind
Correct.
Of action.
Okay. So, let me take a step backwards. The object of this item on tonight's agenda is to go through these items, really to make sure that you don't have anything else that you want to add to your agenda.
Oh, okay. No, and that's fine. Okay. And also,
and these will be. Sorry, Steve.
Oh, go ahead.
These will be further fleshed out in the preparation of those staff reports. So
Right. This
is the council goal. It needs a little bit more meat to be added to that to really
Right. Detail
it out.
And this is what we're going to be discussing with the joint meeting with the city
Correct.
Council. Okay. I just want to make sure in my mind.
So this is kind of a preview of that meeting.
Gotcha.
And to make sure that some of the boards and commissions wanted to add a lot more thing. You know, for example, I don't think there was many recreation items on the council goals, so the Parks and Recreation Commission came up with some more.
Oh.
We're lucky in a way that we're the favored by council, and we got lots of things to work on.
Well, and I think you've covered the main ones that were concerns I would have had in the first place. I just wanted to make sure I understood the logistics.
Thank you.
If there was something we need to do prior to that joint meeting, but it doesn't sound like there's anything we have to do.
Not at all. And it's, like I said, the goal of this meeting is to introduce you to these items and to capture anything that you may want to add to that joint meeting for optional additional items so that we make sure that we talk about those with council.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Jan, any? No?
Nothing.
We're here. Chris? No?
Oh. On the street summit, we talked briefly about flow and the moving traffic. We also talked about bicycles and complete streets some time back, and the making bicycle. I think that should be a complete speech. Streets should be an issue with us, so we bicyclers know where to go, which streets they can be on, that are clearly marked and which that aren't. And I think that would be a good thing to put in with bike needs. Same thing with traffic calming. Not only traffic calming, but traffic flow. We've got some areas in town where the traffic doesn't flow well because there's a stop sign where it's not logical to put a stop sign. It probably got put there years ago. And I think that needs to be looked at, too, along with calming the traffic. construction timing. Of course, that's a huge one. You know, don't be out in the street and fix the parking lot at the Rock on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. You know, so the cars don't fall in the sump holes down there. And that's a point to make too. So that's what I have.
I guess my only, I have a couple questions. The first, we're not really getting into meetings until September, or will we be, you said we were taking August off, but what about July?
We'll have a July meeting.
Okay.
Some of these will take some staff work to get.
No, I understand.
I think we'll
yeah.
have plenty of work to do. In fact, we could probably pick off one or two of these and move into July time frame to get it kind of a jump on. For example, I see one that's kind of unrelated to anything else, but we'll get to it
in just
a minute here, that might be appropriate to move to July time frame.
All right. And I think I understand your logic of combining some of these, but this looks like we could have a very large and well-attended meeting in September with a couple of different kind of very controversial issues, mm-hmm. I would assume, because I know that the 41 intersection would also be, given that you're looking at the two alternatives, and I think my recommendation would be to move that to a separate meeting. The others all seem to make sense to me to be combined because they really are all about our streets and bikes and safety.
And that's one that may be appropriate to talk about in July, and because we'll have ICE completed by then and be moving on to PA and ED, so we will have a little bit more information to talk about, a little bit more refined geometrics right now is the prime alternative, which is the roundabout,
right.
Is the one that Caltrans is favoring most right now.
Okay, great. Thank you. Okay. Moving on to October.
What am I doing here? Okay. October has a couple of items that we'll be looking at, and these will more likely than not be combined into one item. This is how we move people in and about the Embarcadero and Centennial Stairway area. The Public Works Advisory Board looked at this a few years ago. And we're going to be looking at it again, this time with some help from RRM, who's done some, you may have been involved in some stakeholder outreach meetings. And so by this fall, we'll have a concept better defined that we can bring forward to the advisory bodies for all of them to take a look at.
Any questions for October?
Yeah, I've got one real quick.
Okay.
In reading under that Centennial Parkway, you talk about city-owned properties adjacent to the parkway, and you included the D'Estacio's building. I thought that was a privately owned building.
The city purchased that a few months ago.
Oh, okay.
out of bankruptcy.
I didn't realize.
So we held a large portion of the note on
and
got the property back for a very small amount. I can't remember the exact amount. So
well, you learn something new every day. thank you.
Any other questions on October? I just wanted to clarify, we would have a limited role in this discussion. It would really be more about the movement of people, correct?
Yes,
we would not necessarily
be
involved in deciding what the city should do with that property.
Correct. Yeah. And we would probably use that meeting as more of a public outreach for the overall project in general and get public input and
right.
the advisory body's input into that project.
Okay.
And these are all tentative time frames. Okay. And maybe I should have put them in, you know, quarters rather than months, but So these things may move around because that process is dependent on others doing some work. So
right.
We'll need to be flexible. For example, this next one that's on there for November is kind of independent of other things. We're currently doing a ADA assessment, and we'll be bringing that forward to the Public Works Advisory Board, showing you getting your input on the priorities of the improvements that we'll be making on both our streets and our facilities. There's quite a bit to do, and so we'll have to prioritize that that work. The other thing for November is harbor maintenance. One of the council goals is to look at transferring harbor maintenance to Public Works.
What does harbor maintenance mean? Are you talking the building they're in, or are you talking the physical harbor when you talk?
The facilities and structures,
the
not the dredging of the harbor. As much as I want to work with the Army Corps of Engineers, we're looking at maintenance of the docks, the surface improvements, the parking lots, roads, the restroom facilities, moving that into Public Works.
Does the Harbor Department do that now?
They do that now. They have one part-time maintenance worker, and the Harbor Patrol officers in their downtime do some maintenance work. The thought is it might be more efficient to put it with the facilities maintenance guys that do maintenance on a daily basis. And
I would tend to agree.
I think it was also a management partner's recommendation
that
we look at this issue to see if it would be more cost-effective
correct.
To do it this way. Yeah.
Rob, so there's an ongoing budget and a list of items that need to be processed through peer replacement and things like that?
Yes.
Okay.
I'd just like to say that I like this presentation because 3 years ago when I started, these items would pop up and I'd feel ill-prepared because it was just like, oh, we're going to be talking about that next month, you know. But now that you get a preview of what the City Council is dealing with and what's going to be coming before the board to advise on and ask questions and everything like that, you kind of get an idea of what things to be thinking about and being familiar with. And I think it's a great to have way to have it presented to us ahead of time so that we can think about it more.
I'd like to expound on that a little bit of what Deb brought up, because I was glad to get this PWAB packet. I think it was like a week and a half ago, as opposed to 3 or 4 days, and you're looking at it real quick. And if you have any questions, you don't have the opportunity really to flip it over. It is nice if you can do that in the future. I don't know exactly the logistics of everything.
That was a... we had to do it in that time frame because of availability of staff.
Oh.
So
it worked out well for
me. It did work out well for me, too. And I have to thank Mr. Shively for getting me input early on, too, so that I could make the changes and get to you before the meeting instead of sitting here and talking about it and finding out the error of my ways. We skip over December. Typically don't have a meeting in December. And in January, we could be looking at improved trash collection and public restroom cleaning around town.
Didn't we just look at that?
Not the public restroom.
We looked at a component of that. This is to better flesh out that the details of that item. February, tree trimming. Right now we trim trees about every 5 years in the downtown and not hit all of them. Look at what it would take to increase that frequency and perhaps revisit the Urban Forestry Management Plan. Currently, the Urban Forestry Management Plan only pertains to trees within the right-of-way. So there's been some confusion on, especially where a park is right next to the right-of-way, whether the appropriate tree was planted there or not. And if we were to include the entire municipal urban forest in there and address everything, I think it would clarify for both the public and for our staff on what roles and responsibilities are and what trees can be planted where. In March, we'll be looking at the city's vehicle replacement policy. Vehicles are under vehicle maintenance is under Public Works. We probably never talked about vehicles in PWAB before.
And is this all city vehicles?
All city vehicles are maintained by our fleet mechanic.
Okay.
Our one fleet mechanic. Okay. And now he can't do everything, of course. We do use our local garages for smog checks and vehicles that are under warranty, we'll of course send back to the dealer for that work. But he's an awful busy guy. Facility maintenance, to look at this building, all the buildings in the city, will be delivering to you a schedule of what appropriate replace. Not that we have the funding to do this, but we need to be prepared and have the ability to maybe start saving that money, what an appropriate life for a building is, when maintenance should be done on it, when maintenance should not be done on it. Is it outlived its useful life, and are you going to put another, you know, $100,000 into a building that's not worth $100,000, you know? So those are the issues that we'll be talking about there. Then in May, water. There's a couple of water items that we'll be talking about. State water planning to bring up the issues that Mr. Skiff brought up earlier about the idea of looking at the state water contract in the long term and either reducing our reliance or eliminating our reliance on state water, what other water supplies are available, and what is our sustainable water portfolio going to be for Morro Bay.
Do you do your water and sewer study on a five-year cycle? Is that how it's presently being done?
Our water master plan was last done in 1993.
Oh, okay.
Our sewer master plan was done in 2006.
Oh, okay.
So we're looking to embrace a new concept with water planning, and that is the one water approach, basically doing that master planning for stormwater, wastewater, and potable water in one document that may have several chapters in it, but they're so interrelated and they cross boundaries that we feel that one document is a better approach to that rather than multiple documents that don't communicate with each other. The other two water items, the desal location is to evaluate the viability of the desal facility remaining at its current location, or do we want to look at the potential for moving that location?
A quick question on that, because it came up probably as part of the whole roof portion of it. The city wells are located down that area as well.
Right.
And that's where you're pulling the water in for the RO units. Is it going to be feasible to even try to move the desal plant? Just your opinion, I would venture to guess.
Just a it's we can do it. I mean, they're pressure lines,
right?
So it can go basically anywhere.
But you're going to go there and back, right?
Yeah,
back
it's a matter of cost.
Okay.
And what is cost feasible for us to do?
Right. That's where I was driving.
Through the, you know, when we're ultimately looking at the redevelopment of that wharf, courtyard, potentially site. There may be more appropriate locations on that site for the desal facility, too.
Okay.
Not have it up front and center where it is now. We may be able to move that facility ultimately to another...
Get it out of the floodway, basically.
Exactly.
Yeah,
another place on that site, and to make the property more viable for redevelopment.
Right. Oh, okay. Thank you.
And then... next May, we'll be talking about WUs again, except we'll be talking the details of that allocation to, so that council can approve those allocations to be in place before July. That item could possibly flip around to another date. We may want to do it a little sooner rather than later. So that we get that information to PC and then to City Council. One that's not in your packet, but I added as I was working on the budget today, is Public Works Operating Capital Projects Budget Evaluation. I don't think this body's ever done that before. So that you have an opportunity, and we have an opportunity to get your input on all the capital projects that we're proposing, and then our operating budget. So it just gets another set of eyes on that, and we can have input for council as they go into their budget hearings.
And when would that come? Do you know?
It would probably have to come in about now, next year. So typically, finance releases the budget worksheets in late February to the departments. We have until first part of March to work on those for the general fund, work on those budget worksheets and get them back to finance for they check our math and such, and for them to combine all those budget worksheets. So I'm thinking, really, before we get too far into the process, really needs to have some input by this board and the public.
And I understand the city's looking to move to a two-year cycle on the budgets. Is that correct?
We've talked about that a couple of times.
Most cities I've been involved
in,
it's usually on a two-year cycle.
And I think that's it for
Thank you.
So at this point, I guess if there's anything that council has missed in their objectives that you feel that would be appropriate to talk with them about to add to the work program, it'd be great to get that information now, or even if you have a thought in between now and that joint meeting, get it emailed to me and we can get it on the agenda so that everybody knows.
Before the joint meeting, will we have a staff report or anything on that? Sometimes I feel, when we go into joint meetings, I feel like you don't know what's being said until you get to the meeting, so you don't have time to have any thinking about any.
I will push for that.
Thank you.
I'm assuming at this joint meeting we're basically going to be reviewing exactly what you've submitted to us, or you might make a couple of changes.
Yes,
I
might combine
a couple
of the items. Yeah, it'll be mainly these items, maybe repackaged slightly with some, as I've seen them up on the screen, I think, I should have put that in a different month. It'll be basically this exact item that we'll be talking about with any additions that this board might want to have. And it's fine to bring them up at the meeting, too. It's just that if there's something that we could help with and get a little bit more information on to take to that meeting, we can do
that. If we come up with an idea, do we have to find our own funding source for it also?
Okay, thank you.
It helps, but not required.
Okay, well, we will come to future agenda items, and I know there is no staff report, but I did receive an email from one of our council members that said that he has been hearing from some residents that they're concerned about a spike in their gas bill following the gas company's installation of the new smart meter. And he's really wondering if there's any chance that we could perhaps invite somebody from PG&E in to talk about it, or if you could explore the issue with them and come back with some responses.
Gas or electric?
Gas.
That's Southern Cal. Southern Gas.
Oh, Southern Cal. Excuse me.
What I can probably do is get their government relations person to give a presentation on their version of smart metering, what it means. They did replace meter heads like we were talking about doing, so there may be a more accurate measurement of the gas being used.
Did the individuals call out the gas company to have them check the installation?
You know, I don't know anything about the background of the email to me. It was more a question of, is there anything that we could do to explore this issue or to answer questions that the citizens have just to ensure that they're receiving a fair bill? And obviously that would involve inviting somebody else in since we don't control that. I'm just wondering if that's even a possibility or...
Southern California or Southern California Gas Company staff is always willing to, you know, come and answer questions. So I don't know which month it would occur in,
right.
But we'll try to get somebody before the end of the year to come in.
It might be a good idea. I know that they did come and replace meters. They did get no advance warning. They just showed up and did it. So it was kind of a surprise.
I got a letter saying they were coming.
Oh, I did not.
Oh, okay.
Thanks. All right. Well, I think that's the end. We will adjourn the meeting. And
well, if we could just have one minute.
Go ahead, please.
This is my final meeting, and I just wanted to let everybody at home and here know what a wonderful experience this has been for me. I've enjoyed working with all of you, and I thank you for such a civilized group of people. I would encourage anybody at home to please apply for my position. I would love to see you sitting here. There are going to be a lot of postings coming up because April is the time when we review all these positions and stuff. So I would really encourage you to think about this because it is truly a wonderful experience, and the last 3 years have just made me feel more at home, so it makes it just as much harder to leave.
Thank you, Deborah. We will miss you. Yeah, we will. Thank you. We will then adjourn, and our next scheduled meeting is April 20th, 5:30, right here. Thank you.